grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon this morning is the gospel lesson, especially the words of Jesus. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? There are times when a teacher will pose a question and wait. Waiting for those who are there to begin to make an answer, to puzzle through, to look at the issues that are called into question. And so Jesus, waiting for an answer, they all remain silent. And so we begin. A thing to note, in the Gospel of Luke, it reports that when they were silent and would not say anything about that question, that he was angry, looked at them with anger, and then healed the man and sent him away. So there's something terribly important going on in all of this that doesn't quite register with us all that easily. So let me ask you a second question. It relates to the first. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And the second question is, why do you come to church? Now, there the Pharisees would have an answer as well. Why you go to church? Why you worship God? Well, you worship God in order to earn eternal life, right? Wrong. You go to church in order to be worthy of heaven, right? Wrong. You go to church in order to come into a relationship with God, right? Wrong. Why do you come to church? And the answer coming to us as good Lutherans is because of what God has done for us. It isn't about us taking the initiative. It isn't about us finding God or making Him our God or raising Him up or anything else. It is about what God has done for us. And it's all about the receiving the gifts of God. So, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? That was the question posed. And in order to answer that, you have to dig back and ask, so what is a Sabbath? A Sabbath is a day of
rest.
It takes us all the way back in the Bible, doesn't it? Genesis 1 and 2. And on the seventh day, God rested from all the work that He had done. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Because on it, God rested. That sets a pattern for the created world. Well, here comes another question. So on that first Sabbath, this is a question I didn't even know to ask until a couple years ago. So on that first Sabbath, besides resting, what was God doing? Didn't know to ask that question, didn't have any idea of the answer, but apparently it was being taught all the way back in Jesus' day that on that first Sabbath, the Lord God was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. That's in Genesis 3. Walking in the garden in the cool of the day. That's what the rabbis were teaching. Walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And why was he there? Well, we find that he calls out to the man, to Adam and to Eve, where are you? Where were Adam and Eve? They were hiding. Because they had done on that first Sabbath what they should not have done, taking the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and and their eyes were open, and then they were hiding behind the bushes and sewing fig leaves together for clothing and hiding from God. And you see the contrast there. God was there walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Why was he there? To spend time with Adam and Eve. What were they doing? Hiding from God. Not ready to spend time with God. And so begins the great story of the Bible, of Adam and Eve wandering off, and the whole human race wandering off. And the rest of the pages of the Bible are about God searching for and bringing us back to himself, restoring the relationship. But the whole meaning of the Sabbath was to remember who you are and remember the relationship that you have. You are created in the image of God, and the whole purpose for your creation is not so that you can serve God. It's much higher than that. It is not so that you can tend the earth and take care of it. Much higher than that. It's not even so you can live forever. It's even higher than that. The whole purpose of your being created is so that you can live in a relationship with God, to know him not only as your creator, but also as your friend. To be in that relationship, and in that relationship to walk through every day, every moment, every hour. That's what it's all about. At which point comes a riddle, kind of sneaks in here. But here's the riddle. If you take 6 days of the week and use them for work, for the physical needs of the body, for feeding the family and paying the bills and all of that, and you take the seventh day of the week and set it aside as a time to spend with God, then how many days of the week are devoted to God? Yeah, seven. I was hoping you'd catch that. Six of them are devoted to God in one pattern, one of them devoted to God in another pattern, but all seven devoted to God. And being devoted to God, all seven are lived in the presence of God, and all seven are lived in relationship with God. It's just that there's different patterns in the days. So by marking out your days in that way, you mark out your whole life as a life lived in the presence of God and devoted to God. That's pretty cool. So, at this point, we go back to what was the purpose of the Sabbath? To spend time with God as he spends time with us. And remember a verse or two from the New Testament, from John chapter 1. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Which refers to Jesus living among us. Being one of us. A human being with human beings. Walking with his disciples, eating with them. Stooping down one evening and washing their feet. Jesus being among us and being one of us. And then Acts chapter 2, where it says the disciples devoted themselves to prayer, to the breaking of bread, to fellowship. And devoting themselves then to the Word of God and spending time with God. Jesus comes along and he makes this a whole lot deeper. Changes the whole meaning of what the Sabbath is about and restores it back to what it was before and even more. Matthew chapter 11, 28 to 30. Wonder if you know this. Well, I'll leave off partway through and you fill in the next word. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you
rest.
Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find... Same word. Rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, the rest is not rest for the body or rest from physical work. It is rest for the soul. And that does get to the heart of everything. Because rest for the soul means to get to the end of trying to make yourself worthy of salvation, of trying to earn anything from God, of trying to deserve eternal life or deserve heaven, because can you deserve heaven? Can you deserve eternal life? Can you earn any of those things? Can you earn forgiveness of sins? No. Why can't you deserve or earn them? Well, frankly, bottom line, you can't earn them because they're given as a gift. Remember what Jesus said on the cross? It is finished. The whole matter of salvation, eternal life, forgiveness of sins, heaven, relationship with God, to have Him as our Father and we as His children, the privilege of prayer, to come before God and know that our prayers are heard and they are answered, to walk as children of the light, to have Jesus with us as our good shepherd, moment by moment, through every part of life, all of that is given. It's free. And you don't try and earn what is given as a gift. One of my favorite illustrations, I've probably said this already here. Imagine on a Christmas morning, and there I am, and my wife or one of my sons has given me a gift, and it's a really nice gift. So after opening it and saying, boy, this is really nice, I reach into my pocket and pull out my money and say, so how much do I owe you for it? Okay. Is that going to go over well? No. You do not pay for what is given as a gift. And if you try and pay for it, you have insulted the giver, haven't you? And so my kids might give me that look of exasperation, or if it's my wife that has given me that gift, I may be sleeping on the couch if she lets me out of the basement. Okay? You just don't do that. And now we as Christians, we have this most amazing of all gifts given to us. To try and deserve it, to try and earn it, to try and pay for it, to try and win it from God when it's already given as a gift, complete and whole? That's just wrong. So what do you do with a gift? What do you do when you've received a gift? There's a few things you do. Number one, say thank you. Okay. Number two, you enjoy it. And in those two items, we have just brought together everything you need to know about worship. We come here on a Sunday morning, and we come to say thank you. To say thank you to God personally. To sing His praises and worship. We also come here to enjoy the gift. And we do enjoy this gift, don't we? We enjoy the gift as we receive forgiveness. We enjoy the gift as we hear the promises of God and the love of God. We enjoy the gift as, well, toward the beginning of our service, we spend that time greeting one another and enjoying being with our fellow Christians and being part of the people of God. And that is part of our worship. third thing you have to remember about receiving a gift is always, always appreciate and love the giver more than the gift. And that also is a part of our worship, to appreciate and love the giver above all things. And that's why we call it worship, and not just simply a thank you to God. Fourth thing, as we gather in church and as we do all of these things, one thing I've noticed is when a gift is really special, you want to show it off to your friends. And if it's that kind of gift, you want to invite them to share with you in enjoying it. And so it is with the gift that we have been given, the gift of salvation, of forgiveness, the gift of prayer, the gift of being loved, the gift of belonging to the people of God and having eternal life. It's a very special thing to share in it. And so we're back to, why do you come to church, and what is the Sabbath? Why you come to church is for all of those reasons, to say thank you, to enjoy, to share, to worship and adore the giver. And this day is set aside because this is the day when we remember all of what God has done, the works of God and the things of God, and we've been invited to share in the things of God. We share in His Word, we share in His table, we share in, well, in the water that He gives for baptism, we share in the promises, we share in being the people of God. We also share in the work of God, because we've been invited to be a part of His kingdom, His family, and to share with Him in all things. Sharing in the work of God. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? Is it right to share in the things God does on the day devoted to God? Well, now that way of saying it seems awfully clear, doesn't it? I heard a story last night, years ago, about a fellow who, on a Sunday, had a flat tire. And in this town, there were strict laws against working on Sundays. And so as he's changing the tire, a policeman pulls over and gives him a ticket for working on a Sunday. And I'm saying, my immediate response is, oh, that misses what the Sabbath is all about. If the police officer wanted to truly observe the Sabbath, he would have joined in and helped him to change that tire, because it is right to do the things of God on the day devoted to God. What that means, finally, is that we are not just creatures made for this world. We are made in the image of God. And being in the image of God, we are invited to walk with God and share in the things of God. And being invited to share in the things of God, then He sends us out into this world with a message, with a love, with a word from Him, out into a world where there are a whole lot of people waiting to see where is the love of God. And we have opportunities, don't we? In Jesus' name, amen.